This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
The Square Ball Podcast.
Hello and welcome to the Match Ball Podcast for the Arsenal away FA Cup game. Where the Square Ball, I'm Dan Moylan, with me Michael Normanton.
Hello.
And Moscow White, Daniel Chapman.
Hello there.
And we are supported thanks to Levi Solicitors for getting behind the podcast. 10% off your legal fees when you mention the Square Ball when you inquire. And you can go to levisolicitors.co.uk/the Square Ball for everything that you need. What do you make of that then, boys? I mean, the game finished literally 5 minutes ago and we are straight into the studio. Game of two halves?
I think we made our point in the first half.
Yeah.
And then the second half was us acknowledging that a cluttered fixture list wouldn't do us any good. So we went, go on.
I mean, our reserves, did you mean?
Let Arsenal have a game. Let them. I think, you know what Bielsa's like as well. He's out of fairness to Arteta, new in the job, isn't he? Probably just thought,
he needs a break.
I'm gonna tell the lads to take the foot off the gas a bit for him. He doesn't need this.
But immensely proud of that first half anyway. Going to show that we can compete in the Premier League if we get there, but we need to get there first.
I think we should just be taken straight there. I don't care. Disregard the second half. It's fine. I think we will. I've said it on this podcast before. Just put us in the Premier League. We're more fun. You've seen all day on Twitter, even before the game starts, Arsenal fans, Londoners in general, enjoying the experience of having Leeds fans in their city. That could be. All the major cities of England could have us there.
It needs a bit of investment, doesn't it, London? Like 8,000 people going into town and drinking heavily all day.
The economic boost we could give them. And it's not just London, Liverpool, Manchester.
I'm sure had we got through, Bournemouth would have appreciated the Leeds fans bringing their money to their town as well.
If we'd have taken a quarter of their ground, whatever the allocation is.
That was the one upside of that draw, because that did kind of take the edge off before the game. It's like, do we want to win this? And then I think at the end of the first half, yes, it really just needed those goals just to put the real polish on that. And I think if we had scored in the first half, Arsenal were not going to come back, because they're terrible. I don't like the first half.
Surprisingly bad.
They picked it up, but they're still a very, very bad team, and we'll beat them next season home and away.
It's a big call.
First half, I was really taken by how shit both fullbacks were for them, and Xhaka and Ozil. Mm. I see a lot of anger online. I don't watch Arsenal very often, and I just mainly see Arsenal fans being really angry about Xhaka and Ozil. And that first half,
you get it.
Oh, but this is why. Because they both don't give a fuck and are really terrible and have got awful attitudes.
I really understand Arsenal fans TV much more now. Like, I don't understand the accent still, or the why the fuck it's such a thing, but yeah, I get it now. I realise the source of their anger. They're a really terrible team. And it's just, it's a shame. Bamford in the bar and all the other stuff.
I mean, we had them on toast, didn't we? That first half, we absolutely had them on toast. They looked shell-shocked.
I took a screenshot of the stats at halftime just as a reminder, because I suspected they might change as much as anything. And we had 62.8% of possession, 15 shots.
Yeah,
against Arsenal in a single half. Like I said in the first half, I've not ever seen us play this well against Arsenal, including the years we were going toe-to-toe with them for the league and for actually some chance of winning the FA Cup. We always used to struggle against them, and this we just absolutely flew out the blocks and we looked like we were going to, it was a matter of time until we scored.
What I'll say is, if you saw the game that Man City played down there the other week when they hammered them, And Kevin De Bruyne, I think, scored a couple of goals, maybe even a hat-trick, whatever it was. I mean, that's the difference. You put in somebody of that elevated quality into that side who is going to put those chances away, and then well, the game's dead by half-time, isn't it?
Yeah, they had the players that they brought in the second half. Martinelli looks annoyingly good, and bless him, I'm sure. Actually, Jordan Stevens, I will defend Jordan Stevens, looked great when he came in. There is that kind of question of who has a stronger bench and all this kind of stuff, and what Arsenal were able to do to change it. We are still, by default, by administrative error, a Championship club, and I think that's what the second half kind of showed. But the first half, yeah, we absolutely... There's the element of them being poor. Like, my favourite part of the first half from their point of view was David Luiz just passing across the pitch to Alioski. And then when he crossed, one of their defenders just in loads of space, just put it behind for a corner. It's like, it was as if we were passing forward and then Arsenal were getting the ball and passing it towards their goal for us as well. But we were causing a lot of those mistakes, and we were incisive as well. I mean, you can say what you want about the what happens in the penalty area when we try to score. But even then, the one I mentioned when Bamford hits the crossbar, that's just luck at that point. You can't criticise the finish on that, although you can maybe say he could have squared it to Götze.
Mm.
But then we saw a couple of Götze attempts at shooting. So, I mean, if you're a number nine and you're that far or that near to goal, have a shot. And if you hit the crossbar, you're unlucky.
Mm. But plenty to be encouraged by it, and in many ways the perfect result, because we really don't want to get distracted by a cup run, do we now?
I said before the game I wanted a 3-2 defeat and a really good performance, and this could have been 3-2, mm-hmm. So that's near enough.
It's a 1-0 defeat and a really good performance. Even the second half, I know that they did all the attacking and we found it difficult to get going, and Helder Costa wouldn't do a lot when he came on, but some of the defending, Berardi's tackle... at the end where he's run across and blocked as the ball's coming across the box. Brilliant. I think we're probably going to talk a lot about Meslier in a moment, but a couple of his saves were definitely worthwhile. Like, they are good bits of goalkeeping. And that's part of a performance. You can't say, oh, it was a terrible second half, our goalkeeper was good. Keeper was good.
And for all of their attacking in the second half, the goal came from a shot across which went off Berardi to their player, who then mishit a shot that went in.
Yeah, it was scrappy.
It's a proper, like, League One goal. Yeah. There's no class about it. You can't look at it and go, oh, that's the Premier League class telling the way they've cut through them there. It's just a ball ricocheting around a box and eventually falling someone 6 yards out.
And it all just came from one mistake, Douglas getting caught on halfway line, and then the mistakes that happened after that. Berardi then had to go and try and cover two players because Alioski couldn't get back to cover for Douglas, and then he's out of position and Ben White has to go at the player.
It's the cascading effect.
Yeah, and then it gets crossed and everybody's all in the wrong place and just gets scuffed in. So it is just kind of, it's if that one mistake doesn't happen, then Arsenal don't score, but there's no way that we were going to get through an entire game against Arsenal without making some sort of mistake. And we made plenty more and managed to box them off. There was that one when Ben White fell over, and then Barry Douglas, actually, it was, led the swarm to get back and stop Lacazette from scoring, or whoever. I mean, trying to pretend to know who any of these players are. When I saw Nelson on Arsenal's team sheet, I assumed it was Nelson Vivas. That's the last time I paid much attention to them. So we had, 1-0. Considering how well Arsenal played in the second half, it was actually pretty good going. Mm. And that didn't come about through... look, that came about through a decent defensive performance in the second half.
I think Ben White was a little bit taken aback by Lacazette. You don't, for all we've said, Arsenal were basically quite shit. He's better than anything you'll face in the Championship. Mm. And he didn't have quite as much time as he's maybe used to. And he's maybe a little bit quicker at reading him when he pretends to go outside and cuts inside and stuff. There were a couple of bits where you were like, oh, fucking red. You wanted him to turn into more of an old-fashioned, leathering it away centre-back.
I think Ben White suffered a bit more in that game than Berardi, because we've said before on here how Berardi under Bielsa is very straight, basic, doesn't overcomplicate things. It's just win the ball, good pass. That's all he has to do, win the ball and good pass. Whereas Ben White, likes to try and do a little bit more, and he didn't have the time to do it. And that's kind of a good thing to have been on television and for Brighton to get a look at, so that at the end of the season they just go, Leeds, yeah. Well, see if you can teach him.
I mean, joking apart, it does show we've kind of found his level now. It's very, very high in the Championship. Not quite Premier League, but getting there.
Bottom half of the Premier League, yeah, with Arsenal. I mean, he only conceded one, so we'll be fine.
Let's talk Meslier then, because...
McAllister, yeah, as I like to call him.
And the possible banning of that massive racist, Kiko Casilla. What we do know, what we have found out tonight, is that on the evidence of that showing tonight, we'll be okay. And bloody hell, his distribution.
I think he should be the first goalkeeper we've had to take corners.
And free kicks as well, like old what's-his-face that Bielsa had at Velez.
Chilavert.
I mean, it was extraordinary. It was almost a joy. Of all the things Leeds were doing in the first half, one of the best things was the ball just being passed back to Meslier and him just pinging it to the wings. Well, it's not really a ping. It's more like a gentle, it's like a low trajectory.
It's like Calvin Phillips. He hits the same pass.
Yeah.
Is that
sort of drilled, but... Yeah.
And to have your goalkeeper able to do that, it's just great.
Because I was on his debut.
Because we were sat there, we've just watched it together, and we were kind of laughing, weren't we, when he's pinging it around the pitch like that. Such accuracy.
Well, normally, young goalkeepers are a bit rabbit in the headlights. Even good ones tend to look a bit terrified, don't they? Didn't give a shit, did he? Not bothered at all.
Yeah, I mean, Phil Hay did something about Meslier a while ago, and then at the end he kind of threw in his distribution stats at Lorient, and they were all like long passes, 85%, short passes, 95%. But then you would expect, you know, if you're making your debut in the FA Cup live on television at the Emirates, to maybe be a little bit frayed. But I think there was only one that he missed ailing with, and it's only because maybe a foot over his head, just like not something that was flustered. It's just, you know, didn't hit him. And then everything else was absolutely fine. And it's not just the passing. We then saw there was one in the first half, and then we saw in the second half that he's a decent shot stopper. And watching him on that ridiculous corner when they crowded everybody into the 6-yard box as if it was suddenly 1982, he sort of stepped backwards out of that. It got stopped for a foul, I think, but he had stepped backwards out of it to his line and was ready for the ball coming at him if it had been headed on goal. Whereas I think if Kiko Casilla had been in that situation, yeah, he would have been, you've pointed west, I think.
Edge of the 18-yard box.
Yeah, he's gone. He's just not there. He's somewhere else. But he handled that situation really well. He handled everything that came at him well, apart from that one that was, you know, 4 yards off him and he was diving at his feet.
I was encouraged by that corner as well, because like you say, rather than saying there's some madness going on there, I'm going to try and get right into the centre of it, he just went, not for me.
Yep. I'll go back cube and I'll save what comes.
Yeah. It's like a fight in a nightclub, isn't it? You don't want to be piling into the middle of that. You stay well away, let the bouncers deal with it.
Get your pint. A few steps back.
Speaking of making debuts on national TV, we've finally seen Robbie Gotz.
Bless him.
The man, the boy, the myth, the legend. Seen an hour of him. We'll never see him again, obviously, now. That's that.
That's obviously
done and dusted. What do you think of him?
I looked all right. He didn't look out of place. He was part of our sensational Premier League standard first half, Galactic League standard first half. Didn't impose himself on the game. Probably didn't show the range of passing that Meslier has, which for a midfielder is unfortunate. But he was probably never gonna, because he was doing the click job, really, wasn't he? Of kind of not being visible and harrying and chasing and getting on the ball. I thought he was unlucky with that chance at the front post when he tried to sort of dink it over the goalkeeper. It's the right idea. It just flew over the bar. And decent.
He was all right. I thought he was, in the first half, he was probably one of our weaker players. But sometimes with young players, you hear of managers not telling them before games, don't you? Although they don't want to build up the pressure on them. So on the Saturday morning, they'll say, look, you're actually in the team today. So they don't have, whereas Robbie Gotz has been sat stewing on a bench for a full
two or three days now,
a full 2 years or something now, just waiting to get his chance to come on. And then eventually he's getting it. And maybe it's a bit of a stress for him.
It's weird. He's probably the most veteran youth player that we've seen, wasn't it? Didn't James Milner end up having some sort of appearance record for the under-21s where he played like 50 matches for them and was still there when he was like 23. They just couldn't move. They never moved him up to the first team. what Bielsa did say, obviously he didn't spring it on them, they knew well in advance, but I did quite like in his pre-match press conference where he said that whatever Gotts or Stevens do in this game, say, won't matter. He said it won't affect their progress, it won't affect what we think about
just
them.
Just took the pressure off.
Yeah, it's just they'll, you know, it's almost just a free hit. Just go out there and get the experience. And I think for the, he's not a debutant, but I thought Jordan Stevens looked really good when he came on, that bit where he was
quick feet.
Yeah, little drag backs on the edge of their penalty area. It's kind of the confidence that Gotts didn't show. And that could just be, you know, because Stevens has played a couple of games before and is on the wing rather than the heart of midfield. So there's probably different scope of stuff he had to do. But in other situations as well, there were a couple of times where I thought, yeah, Stevens looks pretty comfortable here.
I think he looks a bit bigger as well already from his debut. He looks like he's filled out a little bit and is turning himself into more Jackie Harrison physique as opposed to Jack Clark.
You weren't too keen on his beard though, were you?
Maybe that's it. Maybe that's just puberty's fully hit him and he's now filling out nicely. But yeah, the beard's not nice.
He needs a proper hobby, doesn't he? I think he's been told to knock the betting on the head and now he's just sort of sitting at home.
Which is probably for the best, which he...
Yeah. Watching his hair grow.
Yeah, no, he's just sitting, staring in the mirror, doing some sculpting. He needs getting to jigsaws or something more wholesome.
While we're on the grooming, I'm not having Mikel Arteta's hair either. He gets his hair in the same place Kyle Bartley gets his beard.
Spray on.
Very, very strange looking thing. It's the full clip on again. I'm not sure what he's doing with it.
That's Lego hair, wasn't it?
Very much so. It's darker than any hair I've ever seen in my life. It was no light could escape from that hair. It was so black.
Do we think he's actually bald?
It's a possibility.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey everyone, I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast, alongside my good friend John Calipari. I've been on the go recently. Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Let's talk about the refereeing then and what we thought of that tonight. Up to a point, all right, but he let an awful lot go, and Xhaka in particular.
He just kept fouling people. Even on a totting up of fouls, I think he must have done four or five, and I think at least three of those were yellow cards. And then the one time when Klitsch basically got fed up, I think it was about 75 minutes in, just got fed up of being kicked by him, went over and fouled him in a fairly gentle way, really, instantly got a yellow card for it. And he was like, fucking hell.
It was because we were watching the BBC coverage and, yeah, I think, what's he called? Danny Murphy. He needs to just knock that co-commentary thing on the head pretty soon. I think the rising anger, it was great to actually have the perspective of a combative midfielder and what he felt was acceptable, which was basically everything that the Leeds players do, and what he felt was unacceptable, which is basically everything Granit Xhaka did. And that, yeah, that discrepancy in what the yellow cards were for, I thought, I was expecting to hear the sound of Murphy punching his monitor along with most of Leeds punching their TVs. It was ridiculous. And then the other stuff, that spending ages over a VAR check on whether Barry Douglas had inadvertently placed his hand upon what's-his-face's...
Socrates's
head as he stumbled backwards, hours back and forth to see whether that's a red card.
Were they not looking for an eye gouge though? They were trying to see whether palmed him or fingered him.
You only had to look at it once and see that absolutely nothing had happened. Whereas they only pretty much looked at Lacazette kicking Berardi once and were just like, no, fine. Well, we don't need to replay that because we can see he's kicked him.
Yeah, and he
so
did kick him.
Fine.
He kicked him.
Yeah. I mean, holding on as well.
But you see that, I don't want to see red cards for that. But what I do want to see is consistency.
Yes, well, that's it. I mean, it's the VAR thing that next season we'll probably be insufferable about because we are going up, not that it's coming down to the championship. The spending fucking minutes watching something like that and going, because that's the kind of thing that after a game, if the Berardi one had been shown after a match, you'd have Jermaine Beckford there going like, oh no, yeah, I think that's probably a red card. And they'd say, yeah, you've seen those given, haven't you? And you'd say, yeah, that's probably a red card. So why is everybody watching it during the match and they're not giving a red card?
I mean, that's the thing. It hasn't improved the standard necessarily. No. It's just transferred the responsibility.
May as well just let the referee go with his first instinct. He's probably seen it. You've got him and his two assistants. We've seen it. Don't think that's a red
card.
That's
fine. What they seem to be doing now with this, and I don't want to get into VAR because it's boring, but it's just they're using it as a safety net now. That's all. So he doesn't have to make a decision because VAR will do it for him.
With the Douglas, well, I say the Douglas one. It wasn't the Douglas one because literally nothing happened. Yes. But with the thing they were looking at for Douglas, it's one of those that you worry they'll slow it down that much that they'll see the ball of his hand veer towards his eye socket at some point. They're like, oh, there's intention in that. Look, now we break it down frame by frame, you can clearly see the intention in it.
The kind of muscle movements that absolutely no human can actually control unless you're like an expert catwalk model who was trained to have this exceptional poise and can move every kind of microfiber in their bodies to adjust.
Have you started talking
everything.
About catwalk models because it's Barry Douglas?
Yes, but it is ridiculous. But it's worth underlining the VAR point that it wouldn't, if had there been a replay, it wouldn't have been used in the replay because we don't have it at Elland Road, which is insane. So if Barry Douglas had been sent off for that, then it could have, anything could have happened at Elland Road and there could have been no equal recourse. The referee gets one look and that's it.
So VAR's bollocks.
Yeah, and the FA Cup's bollocks. Now we're out of it. But the Premier League also bollocks and we'll win it if we go up.
I think what was frustrating was that just that sense that every time they got touched, they went down because they know they'll get a free kick. I mean, we have got a little bit sneaky at that in the Championship this season, but you see a lot more allowed.
That was interesting that the Luke Ayling flop failed twice, which it never fails in the Championship.
Which
I hope
strange.
That's not the end of it now.
But Arsenal did get free kicks for less than
for
that
exactly
on two occasions.
Same, yeah.
On the edge of the box as well, he gave them two shooting opportunities, which thankfully David Luiz was on one of them.
It's almost like that referee goes for long drives in the country, etc., etc.
Keith Stroud. But he's Premier League, isn't he? He's not going to be in with the farms. He'll be hunting big game, won't he, in the Premier League? A wild boar, at the least. A tapir.
You do wonder if, because they referee at the Premier League, that they're a little bit pally with some of the players and they look to protect them.
You wouldn't be mates with any of the Arsenal players, though. They're wankers. Did you see them? What a set of bastards. Like I say, I understand the Arsenal mindset now. I would hate that shower as well if I was an Arsenal fan. I'd hate myself, obviously. But
it strikes me as a very joyless club, does Arsenal now. I've always had a lot of respect for Arsenal. They're one of the more tolerable sort of big clubs, in air quotes. But just, I don't know, just piss off.
You could tell the players.
They don't care, do they?
They mainly hate each other. Yeah. It's hard stuff. They hate the supporters. In fact, Socrates in the first half got shouted at by the fans for doing a calm down gesture as they were getting, let's be honest, they were getting absolutely torn apart.
Dicked by a championship team.
By a championship team. And your fullback is telling the crowds, just chill out, all right? This is fine.
I think that's what's frustrating about the second half is that they've got it together for 45 minutes, basically, because they had to, because it would be embarrassing otherwise. And then they'll go back to the next game and they'll come out. The next first half will be like the first half against us again. Yeah. I guarantee it. It was like, we were saying, like, why did their restarts take so long? Because the throw-ins and corners and free kicks up. Because they're looking for a player. Like, oh, God, I don't like him. Oh, I'm not giving it to him. Oh, I can't stand it. Like, you have it. Go on then. But I'm not fucking getting your breakfast tomorrow, wankers.
Does go to show, though, what being an organised side can do to any team, how well we've done. And you know what? I've actually got more of a begrudging respect for Sheffield United, having watched what we've done tonight to Arsenal in that first half. The fact that they've gone in and been dead organised and give a shit, because there's loads of teams in the Premier League who, and a lot of players who just look like they don't.
Yeah.
Sheffield United are in that first season where they've got players who do, and then next summer's the one where they go and spend like 80 million on a couple of players, and they're the ones that don't give a shit and it all goes wrong.
Yeah, it's really weird, isn't it? I found it weird watching some of those players tonight. They're the sort of megastar footballers. And you understand now why Bielsa insists on humility and the litter picking and all that kind of stuff, don't you, about making a connection with the fans?
Yeah, and it does make me feel like when we get promoted, let's just keep these players.
Yeah, add a couple to it. Maybe get a striker in who's going to be that next level up. Maybe get a number 10 in who's that next level up.
Having seen Xhaka and Ozil tonight, how much did they pay for them? About, let's just call them like £100 million worth of footballers.
Let's say lots.
Lots of money worth of footballers.
And how much does Rodric Sani want for our club, just before you continue? 100 mil?
Yeah.
Yeah, carry on.
I wouldn't have wanted either of them in our midfield tonight. Even Robbie Gotts making his debut, I think. At least he looks bothered. At least he looked flustered when they showed a close-up of him.
Player I really enjoyed in the first half was Jackie Harrison, because it was the first time I'd seen him properly. He went to the right and he was doing a full Pablo Hernandez impression, cutting in off the right and causing loads of trouble and being an intelligent, not quite as crafty. I don't think that's his game, because he's not got the final pass, as we often lament. But I thought Jackie played really well. Not just his usual kind of driving down the wing, trying to get to the byline thing, but doing a bit of the Hernandez stuff. I was really pleased about that.
One of your heroes for tonight. Who else then?
Gotts getting through it. Bielsa has said that Gotts got what he deserved. Subbed. No, it's the fact he played is up to him, because all of it is up to his skill as well. The person who has to be proud is him. About himself.
He's a nice man, isn't he, Marcelo?
He's good, apparently. I've not seen much from his press conferences going on as we speak, and apparently he's being very nice about all our players. And then there's a long... the answer's long. We'll have to deal with it.
Has he said what's wrong with Luke Ayling yet?
They've not got that far as I know. That's the other...
Same question, but different intention. Have they found out what's wrong with Jenny Alioski yet? And why he can't understand an offside?
Has Tyler Roberts got injured in that game tonight? Well, we're on the injuries. I imagine a small strain.
This has been, one of the best nights of the season, best first halves of the season, at least. It has maybe left us with that slight kind of downward, that slight descent where the second half was just a bit deflating. But I would love to, as I was watching it, I suppose it's that weird thing of like nobody in the modern era can just enjoy what they're doing. But I was thinking... I'm looking forward to watching this first half again.
Yeah, I was thinking that. I'm going to look forward to going home and watching this again.
Won't bother now, though.
If I could bottle that half-time feeling as well. And also, Bielsa's fucking fun sponge tonight as well. Asked if that performance means Leeds are ready for the Premier League. I can't answer that. We were beaten 4-0 by Man United in pre-season. Oh, Marcelo, come on, enjoy it. Why not just say that first half shoved it up the bollocks of other crap who call themselves Premier League teams.
He's fearful of appearing cocky, isn't he, there? He's not saying it because he doesn't want to say, yes, we've put in a really good performance and we should be proud. He wants to say, well, we lost to Man United, so we can't judge it based on the Arsenal performance.
He's a believer in data as well. He wants a bigger sample size before we'll have been in the Premier League for 8 seasons, and someone will ask him if we're equipped for it. He'll be like, well...
2 more years.
I'm not so sure just yet. But you won the league last year. Well... Yes, that's true, but we were fortunate in some respects.
One thing that tonight has done is really given me a taste for thinking, I hope this spurs them on now, and they know they've got nothing to fear from the remainder of this season, and if they do their jobs, they will see us up.
Another player who I thought was good, Click.
Yep.
Yeah, very good.
I thought he played really well, and he was in his more attacking mode as well, trying to do the furthest forward midfielder job. I don't want to say 10 or Enganche, because he doesn't really do that. But yeah, I thought that pass in the second half when he pinged it out from the centre circle to the wing for Jackie, and he couldn't quite make the chance out of it, but it was such a good vision, good ball. I thought he... So that's another player that we don't need to replace in the summer. Who else is going to be fine? Ben White will be fine.
It's not strictly ours, but
he will be.
He will be. Ben Brian won't want him after that shit show. but also, he showed that he is brilliant enough for the Premier League. Who else?
Let's do villains.
I've got another hero first.
Oh, go on then.
David O'Leary. Because presumably he got paid for that halftime appearance and he didn't have anything to say, did he?
For the benefit of anybody outside the UK or didn't see the BBC feed, he just came on for 5 minutes and just made a load of noise, didn't he? It's like, oh, you know, well, as I say,
there were great games. Yeah. I can't do them. You're closer. But it was, yeah, it's just all Arsenal, Leeds,
Platitude.
Elland Road. Mm. It was Highbury then. But it's great. Our first half, you know, both teams. Second half.
Expect more.
More. Arsenal want more. But Leeds, I've seen them.
As I say.
Three games as I say. Jesus. Well, you could see Alex Scott, who gets all kinds of pelters for being female. For being a female. Somewhere else, looking at him, he's gone, this can't be what you're supposed to do.
He does well though, Larry. He always did get paid, didn't he? That was one of the things he always did well.
And why not? And other villains then? Have we got any villains? Xhaka?
Yes.
Xhaka, yeah.
And his mate, the referee.
And Socrates and Lacazette as well, just for some terrible screams when it was Premier League screaming. The Socrates one in the first half, whose head's far too big for his body as well. I was constantly put off by that. His face is massive. It's like a big old satellite dish. And I think he's all... Maybe that's why he's...
Big full moon head.
Confusing messages.
He was all imbalanced with
his... He's receiving messages from outer space.
Stealing Marcelo's data.
But at one point he went with Barry Douglas and I think... Or was it Calvin Phillips? I can't remember. But he got basically like a shoulder or a forearm slightly in his side and went down as if someone had just stuck a blade through him. And... Lacazette did a yelp as he was running through midfield as well and someone gave him a slight push.
Well, somebody tweeted, I can't remember who it was, it might have been Ogden, journalist, ESPN, my apologies, can't remember his first name, who tweeted along the lines of, Arsenal seem to be shocked that A, Leeds are tackling them and B, that Leeds are riding tackles and getting on with it as well.
And the referee didn't seem like he understood it either. He seemed like he was programmed for everything Arsenal did. Knew what to do, what's a free kick, what's not, that's all fine. But then what Leeds are doing, fucking hell, I'm booking you for that. Never seen that in a Premier League before, even though it's the most minor little shove you've ever seen. And just Arsenal in general.
So basically, Arsenal bollocks, Premier League bollocks, VAR bollocks.
Anthony Taylor bollocks.
Yep.
Leeds United, brilliant.
That's all we need to say, isn't it, really?
Treasure that first half. It's one of those halves that's difficult to immediately... put into any sort of rational words or shape. You've just got to say, fucking hell, did you see that?
Well, we were watching it, weren't we? We were just laughing, kind of going, this is brilliant.
You see how good Leeds were.
Yeah. And loads of fans of other clubs saying, bloody hell, Leeds are great.
The stat popped up on the screen. I made a note of it. 17 minutes in, we had 7 shots.
Yeah.
I mean, it's Arsenal.
Attitude as well. I think that's something that shouldn't be lost. We were criticising Arsenal for the way they sulk around the pitch. And that is what leads me to the confusion that it would be lovely if only all of the players we have now could just be good enough to win the European Cup. That would be great because I don't want to lose any of them when they start a game compared to those bunch of sulky bastards. If they start a game and they're prepared to have 7 shots in the first 20 minutes and play like that when really, no right to. Championship teams aren't in general going up against Premier League teams and playing like that.
And going up against them in a way that was not getting balls in the box, big man up front, the sort of way that you expect lower league teams to upset Premier League teams.
We quite literally just outworked and outplayed them.
Yeah, we were just much, much better than them for a lot of that game. And then they cheated and won.
It's very much the story of Leeds United, isn't it?
And on that note, we'll sign off. Thanks to Levi Solicitors for getting behind us. 10% off your legal fees when you mention the square ball when you inquire. It's levisolicitors.co.uk/thesquareball. We will return in a day or two with the main podcast. We've got the extra ball on the way and the Phil Hay Show as well coming later on in the week. Thanks for listening. See you in a bit.
The Square Ball Podcast.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.